I wanted to build 300 hangars for these 18-acre field. Yep. And I wanted to build a restaurant and a new FBO, and I wanted to do all this crazy stuff.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another amazing and, of course, awesome episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. As you can see, we're in a very joyful mood. We did some nice outtakes right before we started this day. It's a rainy day. It's kind of ugly outside for Southern California.
It's not normal. I woke up to that and I started driving. And there's light drizzle at home. And I thought it was fine. It'd start going away.
Light drizzle for us means like the entire freeway shut down, by the way.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Because I started driving. And once I got to Orange County, it started to just absolutely pour. And then there was it
sprinkled.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah. That's, I guess, how we talk about it. Yeah, but it was raining hard. And I was like, wow, this was not the day to A, wear a white t-shirt, and B, go home with or leave home without a jacket. And well, I did both of those things.
So many comments, Carson.
I know, but it's a family show. So you really just have to hold back on this one.
I shall hold back. Well, thank you again for joining us today. Today, we've got another fantastic or fascinating topic that's going to go beyond kind of just flying. We want to talk about hangars today. And we've kind of got a whole bunch of items listed on our show notes today for us to go over. But I think we're really just going to hit some high-level ones. And today's going to be a like 15-minute episode today. Nothing too long, nothing too in-depth. But you know what happens whenever I say that? It turns into like 30 or 45 minutes in two parts.
So yeah, we'll see. I think once happens. We set that expectation, we can just feel free to ramble a little bit more. And we start talking and then we start thinking of, oh, we should add this and this. Then we just end up with the 45-minute.
Yeah, I know. That's not happening today. We're on a time schedule, guys. So we want to talk about hangars. And it's the infrastructure that really kind of keeps aviation thriving, right? I know I've had several hangars in my time. And I had two as of, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I had two. Now I currently only have one. I guess, does Kavu count as my hangar still? I guess it kind of does.
So like a certain percentage your hangar?
40% is my
40%
hangar.
40% your hangar.
Yeah. So I guess I've got two hangars. One is like 6,000 square feet. And then one is 50 by 50, I think. So 2,500 square foot. Sounds pretty big, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
That's nice. It actually is a really nice hangar.
Might be 50 by 60. Whatever. Yeah. It's still a good size.
Yeah, it's a good size. You can fit at least two planes.
We've got a lot of planes fitting there.
What did you actually put in the hangar?
We've got RV-12. We've got Cessna 120. I've got my kit plane. And
Are we talking about your Chino hangar?
My Chino hangar, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's a big
hangar. Last time I saw that hangar, we had so much stuff.
No, there's a lot of stuff in there, but yeah, I go on a rampage and I go and take a dumpster to it every once in a while.
Do you?
A big time.
Yeah. It was me that put that stuff in there in the first place.
Oh, after you went there, I think I went in and I felt like lighting all of it on fire and I just threw it all away.
I can imagine because I remember backing in a trailer and just offloading a ton of stuff in that hangar.
Yeah.
So I guess that leads me to a good question of what do people really do with their hangars?
Yeah.
Is there a restriction to it?
Yeah, there is. Both of those things. One, a lot of people are hoarders. I happen to be a reformed one.
Yeah, you used to be so... You got a lot better. Oh. Much better. You became all minimalist and...
I'm trying my best.
Or trying to.
At my house, I used to have stuff stacked up in my garage and I felt like I needed to keep everything for my entire life. And then I realized, no, if I haven't used it in, I don't know, if I haven't used it in a year, it can definitely go. If I haven't used it in 6 months, it probably should go. And if I haven't used it in a month, there's a good possibility I'm not going to use it for a year and it's probably going to go anyway. So I've been trying to get better and better about getting rid of stuff. And now I can fit a car in my garage and I can fit planes in my hangar.
Planes in your hangar. Who would have thunk? I certainly did it when I started moving all that stuff in.
So a lot of people use hangars really for storage, to believe it or not. And they don't use them for airplanes. And that's really troublesome and a problem when you're talking about places that have lack of hangars. So in Chino, I know John Wayne for sure, in Long Beach, if you don't have a plane in your hangar and they do a check on your hangar, and it's not like the plane's just flying out, right? It's you don't keep a plane in there all the time, they will kick you out. And it used to be they just didn't care because they want to fill the space. And now they just kick you out.
Well, there's such a long wait list of people with planes parked on their ramps or tie down spots in FBO or whatever it could be. They need space for their planes.
They do. And they can't put them in those hangars. So
is that when you became a good citizen? And you, kind you cleaned
of.
Up?
Yeah, I became a good citizen because it would just stress me out. Clutter stresses me out and I don't like that in my
life. Yeah, that was a lot of clutter.
Yeah, I can't take clutter in my online document like storage areas. I can't take it on my desk anymore. I can't take it on Carson's desk anymore. And especially
I my cords for you.
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, yes, I am pretty crazy about that.
Anyway,
if things are organized, it's always me. Yeah, here goes the rambling.
Yeah, sorry. See, I'm telling you.
So on the hangar side, a lot of people did that for a long time, just stored their own stuff in there, didn't store airplanes. That's been getting cracked down for probably the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, especially as of the last 2 or 3. And people have been forcibly moved out, evicted on hangars, at least in Southern California. As I've noticed, they've seen people get kicked out of hangars, which they should. They shouldn't be living there. Honestly, there's always
People were living in the hangar?
I thought
you meant like their stuff was getting taken.
Oh, no, there's stuff too. But there's always, I know at Chino Airport, there's at least 4 people that live in their hangars.
What?
Live. I know at Riverside of at least 1 person
who lives in their hangar. Know, now I think about it. I knew one at Corona.
Okay. At least one.
At least one. Yeah, you're right.
But every airport, there's always somebody who wants cheapest rent ever and they live in their hangar. And they do it under guise of, oh, I have some airplane parts in here and I work on airplanes. Now, it's one thing to have it as your man cave or I forgot what the female version is.
Don't try and come up with something. It'll be offensive as hell.
No, there was a really cool version, like a she shack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she that's shack. What I called a she shack.
I could see those wheels turn. They weren't turning the right way.
Or turning the right way. No, so a lot of people use them for man caves or she shacks. So
if you're having a plane in there and having a man cave, like Jim O'Brien, like that's cool. That's what you should do. You should have like a little space to hang out before and after the flight.
And that's what my hangars turn into. I mean, yeah. I have like a full bar. I've got a sound system in there.
That's cool.
Actually, I share some of the space with my friend who has a restaurant catering business. So he actually has a full size beer truck in there, like with taps going out of the side. So if I really wanted to go crazy and throw an awesome party, I could.
Oh, that'd be a cool hangar party.
It would be an awesome hangar party. Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, let's talk about that later.
Also, another thing you have to have in that hangar is a barbecue. I used to love hangar barbecue parties. You go on a Friday night, go hang out with all your friends and barbecue and just hang out, talk airplanes all night. That's always a lot of fun.
That is cool. It's a good experience. And it's just, that's good bonding, especially after a long flight.
It really is. Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, obviously you got to have your refrigerator there. You got to have all the other stuff, but people use them too much for storage. And at least I'm seeing the trend where it's going back towards the community. I think that COVID really messed that up. I remember prior to COVID, we would do hangar parties and get together so often. And then the entire world changed.
I mean, there used to be block parties too. And that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, that's no longer a thing either.
Yeah. People are just more spaced out.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. Yeah, I can't wait for it to get better, which I think it is. So I'm seeing more and more people hanging around hangars and meeting other people and really trying to connect with other people. And that's what aviation's about in general. And if you're a student pilot listening to this, that's really a great thing for you to do is go meet all the people that have hangars and airplanes around. Who knows? You might meet somebody, they want to go take you on that $100 hamburger. And you might just luck out, they might be a CFI, so they'll let you sit left seat and fly most of the time. And then you'd log the whole thing because they don't care about the time. Those things happen way more often than you think. There's so many people that want to be an aviation mentor just at your local airport, and you can find them around hangars. So I also want to tell a story while we were talking today. I guess it was 2018 or 19. There was a RFP, request for proposal, on a development at my local airport, which was Riverside Airport. And it was to develop 18 acres of land. And of course, I say, I think I can do that. And I've never developed anything in my entire life.
Brandon's always said yes and figured out a way later. It works out great.
The answer is always yes. Yeah. Don't say no to something just because you've never done it.
Yeah, you're right.
In all ways, Carson. So I wanted to build 300 hangars in this 18, I think it was 300. It was something ridiculous over these 18 acre field. Yep. And I wanted to build a restaurant and a new FBO. And I wanted to do all this crazy stuff. and it ended up not working out. I tried my best. I just couldn't raise the capital for it. At the time, I needed like $22 million. And then by 6 months later, it was going to be closer to $30 million I was going to have to raise. And I was going to the wrong people to raise this kind of money. And to be honest, nowadays, I actually think I could pull it off. I know all the right people to call to be able to raise $30 million, which sounds absolutely bonkers saying that out loud. But I think it's possible nowadays if that RFP were to come back out. But what I learned in that process is it's not just the hangars itself building. It's the drainage. And do you want water and electricity to those hangars? Are you building T-hangers that sit on ground? Are you building construction where they have power sliding doors? Or do they fold up on the doors? Do they fold in or do they fold out? How do you maximize that space? What height is an average airplane that really is on the list at your local airport that wants to go in these hangars? How do you vet the people on the hangar wait list who are really serious about it and who are really not? How do you get people to sign letter of intents? There's a lot of things that go into building those hangars. So I ended up having a real hard time with that entire thing. I learned a lot, but I ended up giving up the project and didn't do it. So now I just rent my hangars and I don't get to own any for free. By the end of it, I was hoping I'd have like $3 million worth of hangars for myself. That
yeah, that'd be great. Of course. I don't know,
live off some income, right?
It'd look like Threshold, right?
I mean, I'd look like a lot of great businesses, but it didn't quite work. So I ended up not building those hangars. But I would say that keeping an airplane in a hangar is a fantastic, just to kind of totally go off topic of what I was just talking about, owning a hangar, being in that hangar all the time, and being around all the people that I wanted to be around, like this vision I had when building these things or attempting to building them, was so grandiose about the community that I can create. And it wasn't necessarily about the hangar, it was about the airplanes of the community of people. And that was kind of the most, I don't know, defeating to me at the end of the day when I couldn't pull off that deal. And there's a lot of people that see success in so many ways, but there's a lot of failure behind that success. And that was a big failure for me. I mean, it just didn't happen. Luckily, I didn't lose that much money on that deal, but could have.
No, I can imagine it. And I understand how it could be a big loss because, you know, every airport's its own community and they all have a different flavor, right? Wherever you're going, every airport's going to be a little bit different. The people there are going to be a little different, regardless of us all being pilots or not. But being able to build a community like that, that's just a spectacular idea. And, you know, I can see how it's a big loss.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, so I mean, I think I would probably do it again, but we'll see one day. You know what time it is, Carson?
Time is it, Brandon?
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
I think it'd be fun to do it at a different airport. But I guess that kind of brings up the question is there like a scarcity of hangars everywhere? Because I know, you know, the big airports around here at least are, you know, long wait lists like we're talking about, but all across the country, is it different?
There's scarcity of hangars almost everywhere.
Okay. Too many planes, not enough space?
Too many planes, not enough hangars.
Got it. Space bags.
They're also pretty expensive to erect, but they don't make that much money on income because the counties basically subsidize their hangars. They just rent them out at low cost. So if they went up to market values, then it would be, I don't know, economical for us to go build hangars all over the country. We wouldn't have this hangar space scare. But the supply and demand, I mean, when you have government kind of pressing the cost on these hangars really lower and lower and lower, there's no way that the private market can compete with that.
Well, they got their own planes they don't want to pay for space for. So, yeah. But I guess that leads to a different question of how much does a hangar cost someone that's not, you know, the county or state government?
I'll tell you. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you my hangar. It's hangars are interesting because you don't necessarily pay for electricity or water or sewage typically, like you would somewhere else that you're renting. Typically, that's all inclusive, which is nice. which is really kind of funny on the electricity side. A lot of places, they'll just kind of pool the electricity and charge everybody a little bit. So if there's some guy that's in their hangar 24 hours a day or living in there, they're paying like nothing and everybody else is paying a portion
paying of for theirs. Them.
Yeah. Or if everyone's got a fridge in their hangar, I mean, most people do, then everyone's kind of paying the same price. But for my hangar, I think I pay $16.50 a month. And what did we say? That was, I think it's 50 by 60 is my exact. So that's 3,000 square feet. So we do 1,600 divided by 3,000. We're looking at 54 cents a square foot about. But I do have to pay other things that no one thinks about. I actually have to pay tax on the building and on the land. Every year, the city sends me a bill and I pay the tax on behalf of the land and the building.
Yeah. Is it a crazy amount or?
No, it's not crazy. It's just, it's property tax.
Yeah. Wow.
On whatever the value is. So, I mean, if it was $1 million property, I would pay the property tax on that, which sounds absolutely bonkers, right? Most of the time, if you go rent something, you don't pay the tax on it.
Huh.
Property, I didn't even think about like, that. Literally, yeah. The county bills you for it. So, I mean, that could be significant depending on where you live. It's not that significant where I'm at. I think they charge me like $500 a year or something like that. But still, that's another 40 bucks a month.
Yeah, something else you have to think of.
Exactly. So those are kind of the costs. Now, if you go to a T-hanger, it's a lot smaller. I mean, in the middle of the country, sometimes you can go $150 a month for a small T-hanger with no doors, like a covered place. Sometimes you can just get a covered area, and that's like 50 bucks a month. You can even find tie-down spaces anywhere from $50 all the way up to $500. But I know that you can get a small hangar at a lot of places for like $450 a month. It'll fit your airplane. It'll fit two couches. It'll fit a whole bunch of storage stuff from your house that your wife or husband doesn't want there. It does its job and it fits your airplane, like a Cessna 172 or a Cherokee 6 or something like that.
Do you have to have insurance on those hangars?
Typically, yeah. But that's not
so I was thinking like Corona Airport had one burned down. So
yeah, it's like $300 a year or something. So there's another thing
you have to think of though.
Yeah. I mean, relative to what it would cost to rent like a building, like an office building.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, the space that we're in right now, Carson, is, I don't know, 1/3 of that and cost 4 times as much.
Yeah.
There's also a view of a large pond.
But, you know, it's similar to it being on the airport, like it's something you need. So
exactly.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So like we said, we're going to keep it short today. I just want to talk about that one little story of ours on me trying to build hangars and failing at it. And also a little bit about hangars in general. If you have any questions about hangars, please feel free to let us know. Comment below or above or whatever way it is on the screen that you're listening or watching us on. And we'd love to answer it for you.
Wow, Brian, thank you for sharing that with us. I didn't know you were building that many hangars. And that was the whole thing. But I wouldn't say you failed. You just haven't succeeded yet.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's the same thing to me.
No, it's okay.
I like that. Perfect. Well, thank you all again for listening. If you'd like to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us via email, brandon@aviationmentors.com, carson@aviationmentors.com, or for our amazing and awesome producer, Mark, it's producer@aviationmentors.com. Also, don't forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, stream, all of the buttons and things we love to hit on social media, or sometimes that we don't love to hit. Just go ahead and click tap, tap, tap right below. It really helps us grow our aviation community and really help us grow the future generation of pilots at large. So thank you so much for listening again today.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. And as we wrap up for the day, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.